Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at an internal deployment blueprint. It's called the Unified Agentic OS Integration Guide.
Right.
And well, our mission for you today is basically to show you how to stop drowning in raw terminal logs, to completely revolutionize how you manage your local AI agents.
Oh, definitely.
And like, most importantly, how to slash your operational API spend by a staggering 82%.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating document. I mean, we are talking about a massive architectural shift in software engineering here. We're transitioning away from those, messy, raw command line interfaces, which honestly most developers just accept as the cost of doing business. And we're moving into a centralized visual intelligence layer. And this is managed entirely by AI agents, specifically Claude Code.
And the metrics on this blueprint are what instantly grabbed my attention. I mean, right out of the gate, this strategy promises an 86% reduction in context tokens blown.
It's huge.
It is. And like I just mentioned, that translates directly to an 82% drop in API costs. So if you've ever felt like your local hardware cluster is running you instead of the other way around, well, this is your blueprint for taking control back. Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get into how Claude Code like actually builds this beautiful visual operating system for us and how it saves us all that money, we have to talk about the foundation. Because, well, you can't automate chaos.
You really can't. And that is a crucial starting point. If your local workspace is a mess, throwing an advanced AI agent at it is only going to scale that mess exponentially. So the blueprint is very specific about mapping your workspace structure before you even initialize the AI. It breaks the target layout down into four core layers.
Let's look at how they connect. The foundation is what the guide calls the core layer, right?
The core layer is your raw engine room. This is where your existing local agent systems live. The blueprint specifically points to setups like a Hermes local node, your Claude Code workspace context, or OpenClaw pipelines. These are the actual entities that will be doing the heavy lifting and generating the code.
But I mean, agents are completely useless without memory or context. Which is why they have to sit directly on top of the context layer.
The context layer is what grounds the agents. It involves notes synchronization using Obsidian workspace directories, and crucially, your vector store embeddings.
Let's pause on that for a second just to make sure we are all on the same page. When we talk about vector store embeddings and the blueprint mentions Pinecone or like a local Chroma setup, what does that actually look like for someone setting this up?
Well, think of a vector store like a massive, highly organized digital filing cabinet. But instead of organizing by alphabetical order, it organizes by conceptual similarity. It takes all your project data, turns it into numbers vectors, basically, and allows the AI to instantly retrieve relevant memories or previous code snippets.
So it doesn't have to reread your entire hard drive every time.
It essentially gives your agents long-term memory.
It's the memory bank. Then, sitting above that, we have the token optimization layer. And that utilizes a code graph mapping engine. We are definitely going to spend a lot of time on that shortly because, well, that is the secret sauce driving those massive cost savings we talked about.
It absolutely is the engine of efficiency for this whole operation. And finally, the fourth layer, which is the destination for all of this, is the visual presentation layer. This is the local web server dashboard. It renders your runtime context, your cost breakdowns, your generated file assets, and your overnight analytics.
So we've got the core agents doing the work, the context memory bank guiding them, the token optimization map keeping them cheap, and the visual presentation dashboard making it all readable. But the blueprint highlights this massive, like, non-negotiable architectural rule tying it all together. It's called local artifact tracking.
And this is a critical piece of infrastructure. The guide states that any file created by your local agents, it literally doesn't matter if it's an HTML file, a markdown script, a PDF data brief, or just a plain text log. It must be piped directly to one specific tracking path on your disk. The example they use is the /desktop/Hermes_workspace directory. Everything goes there.
I love this concept. I mean, it's like moving from a chaotic, windowless, digital junk drawer where your AI just throws files into whatever directory it feels like to a highly structured air traffic control tower. Every single piece of data, every artifact your AI generates has a designated, highly visible runway. But why is this so strictly enforced?
Because it fundamentally mitigates a massive problem in multi-agent systems called context isolation.
Okay.
Think about what happens if your Hermes node outputs a critical HTML file to one random subdirectory, but your Claude code agent is busy looking for it in the root folder.
Oh, they're working blindly in their own silos.
Exactly. By forcing all artifacts into a centralized, hard-coded tracking path, you guarantee two things. First, your visual card manager can automatically feed the dashboard without searching for files.
Right.
And second, all your agents are forced to operate within a shared, unified reality.
Okay. The workspace is mapped. We've got our air traffic control tower set up, and all the runways are clear.
Yeah.
But here is the terrifying part of any autonomous workflow. How do you actually unleash an agent like Claude Code into your root project directory without it accidentally wrecking your code base or just entirely losing the plot?
Yeah, that is the ever-present threat of context drift. I'm sure anyone who has worked with AI agents has experienced this.
Oh, definitely.
The agent gets a task, starts writing code, makes a slight assumption, writes another 100 lines based on that bad assumption.
And before you know it, it has refactored your entire repository into something completely unusable.
Exactly. It's the AI equivalent of getting lost in the woods, but it's chopping down trees while it wanders.
Wow. Yeah.
And to solve this, the integration guide mandates a highly specific intent check prompt loop. This happens right at step one during session initialization.
Okay, how does that work?
You boot up Claude Code in your root project, and you issue your baseline instruction. You know, you tell it you're building a document interface and visual intelligence layer, but then you give it three rigid tasks before it is allowed to execute anything.
Let's break those down. What are the three tasks?
First, the agent must mirror back its understanding of the implementation plan. It basically has to tell you what it thinks you want.
Okay, makes sense.
Second, it must analyze your environment and flag any missing software interdependencies or structural constraints.
Right.
And third, it needs to propose the actual layout for the local file watcher system that will map your files to an A4 optimized web UI.
And then comes the absolute constraint. You literally command the AI, do not proceed with building until I explicitly verify your summary response.
Yes.
Now, I have to stop you here and push back on this a little bit. If we are going through all this trouble to set up a highly advanced, autonomous agentic OS, doesn't constantly stopping the AI, like tapping the brakes to manually verify its understanding, defeat the whole purpose of fast automated coding?
Well,
I mean, if I have to review its plan every single time, I might as well just write the boilerplate myself. Shouldn't we just let it rip?
I hear you, and it's a common initial reaction. Mm. But what's fascinating here is that speed is actually the enemy of efficiency when you're orchestrating a multi-machine hardware cluster.
Really?
You have to step back and look at the actual dollar cost of an AI going rogue.
How so?
Well, if you let the AI just let it rip, and it hallucinates an architecture flaw across a local hardware cluster, what happens?
It breaks things.
It starts creating endless loops of API calls trying to fix its own mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It might start deleting files or rewriting core dependencies because it misunderstood the architecture. When you're paying per token, a hallucinating agent stuck in a loop is financially disastrous.
So it's not just about saving time. It's about not burning through your API budget while you are off getting a coffee.
Exactly. This intent check loop forces the agent to act as a cautious senior developer rather than an eager, reckless intern.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Right. Think about it. A senior developer always repeats the requirements back to the client, checks the server dependencies, and proposes a blueprint before they ever touch the production servers.
True.
You aren't just slowing the AI down. You are programming patience and verification directly into its workflow.
Okay, you sold me. Cautious senior developer over eager intern any day of the week. So once Claude understands the mission and we verified its plan, the biggest hurdle becomes the budget.
Yes.
We teased those massive metrics earlier. How do we actually achieve that 86% token reduction and the 82% drop in operational API spend?
This brings us to the most technically elegant part of the blueprint, activating the code graph optimization layer. This is really where the magic happens.
The setup for this is so cool. You instruct Claude Code to execute commands right within its own tool sandbox. You essentially tell it to go fetch its own tools.
Right.
You have it clone a specific repository. The blueprint uses v88labs/codegraph.git right into its directory. And then Claude Code installs it itself, running the package manager commands to build it. The AI is literally downloading and compiling its own structural mapping tools.
And once that tool is compiled, you give Claude a vital prompt. You instruct it to process your current directory configuration using that newly compiled graph tool.
Okay.
You are telling it to map out the current structure and index all the interdependencies of your local workspace repository.
The blueprint calls this the absolute reference schema. Mm-hmm. The prompt literally commands it to use the structural graph as your absolute reference schema for all future component generation loops.
Yes.
But explain the mechanics of this to me. Why does mapping the directory result in an 82% drop in our API bill?
To understand the massive drop in token consumption, we have to look at how agents normally behave. Without this structural graph, an AI navigating a code base is like a tourist wandering around a massive city without a map, trying to find a specific coffee shop by just walking down every single street.
Just brute forcing the search.
Exactly. Every time you ask it to modify a component, it has to read the raw files, scan the directories, ingest thousands of lines of irrelevant code, and try to understand the entire context all over again.
Ouch.
Reading raw files repeatedly blows massive amounts of context tokens.
No.
And because API pricing is tied directly to how many tokens you send and receive, brute forcing your code base skyrockets your API spend.
So every time it reads a 10,000 line file just to find one variable, we are paying for all 10,000 of those lines to be processed.
Precisely. By forcing the AI to compile and run this code graph tool first, it indexes a highly compressed structural graph. Mm-hmm. It creates a map. Now, Claude reads the map instead of exploring the whole territory every single time. It looks at a 50-line dependency map, knows exactly where the required variables are, and only parses the specific files it needs.
Wow.
That is mechanically how you safely hit that 86% token efficiency threshold.
It's reading the blueprint instead of inspecting every single brick in the building. That is a brilliant analogy. All right, so the AI is controlled by the intent check, and our token costs are slashed thanks to the code graph map.
Yep.
Now it's time to actually build the dashboard that you, the user, will interact with. Let's look at the visual artifact card pipeline.
This is where we move from the back-end architecture to the front-end user experience. You allow the model to build an embedded localhost prototyping server first, just to inspect how the files are laying out.
Okay.
Then you direct Claude Code to construct an interactive grid component.
And the UI constraints the guide places on the AI are incredibly strict. It's not just telling it to make a nice dashboard.
Not at all.
The blueprint dictates columns feeding left to right, displaying up to 4 to 5 atomic metric items sequentially. You need file parsing toggles that separate your tracked folder into 4 distinct categories: code, data, HTML, and markdown.
And we really need to emphasize the truncation constraints here, because this is what prevents the dashboard from becoming just as cluttered as the terminal window we are trying to escape.
Right.
The guide dictates strict character limits for quick identification. It instructs you to have the AI code a helper method specifically for truncation. Titles must be restricted to a maximum of 5 words, and the descriptive content underneath is mathematically restricted.
Yes, I love this part. It says the descriptive content is restricted to a maximum threshold where W is less than or equal to 14 words total.
Yeah.
Wait, less than or equal to exactly 14 words? That is wonderfully mathematically tyrannical.
It's intensely granular.
Yeah.
But it serves a vital purpose.
No long rambling paragraphs allowed, just punchy scannable data. It forces the visual layer to be an actual at-a-glance dashboard, not just another dense text document you have to scroll through.
Exactly.
But the dashboard isn't just a static display of your files. Here's where it gets really interesting. The blueprint introduces a background system called the Dream Engine.
Yes. The Automated Asynchronous Analysis System. It's a fantastic architectural choice. You instruct Claude Code to establish a lightweight background script that runs nightly.
Right.
The guide uses standard local cron utilities to schedule this.
Yeah, the blueprint literally gives you the raw schedule commands to force this to run at exactly 4:00 a.m. every night. It uses the cron syntax 0 4*, pointing to a script and outputting its findings to a dream.log file.
Right. So while you sleep, this underlying code performs a rigorous pipeline of operations. It aggregates all the day-to-day chat outputs with the AI, the system errors, and the terminal history. Then it evaluates those resource consumption metrics to spot platform optimization opportunities, compiles a summary profile, and pushes it straight to your UI dashboard.
Now, I understand it's reading the logs, but how does a script reading my terminal history actually optimize my platform? What is it fundamentally looking for?
It's looking for the hidden inefficiencies that a human developer simply doesn't have the time or the bandwidth to track during a busy coding session.
Oh, I see.
It scans for looped API errors, like times when the agent tried to execute a command three times before succeeding. It looks for redundant terminal commands or memory spikes that happened when a specific pipeline ran.
Wow.
It finds those bottlenecks, diagnoses why they happened, and figures out how to tweak the system so they don't happen tomorrow.
It's like having a dedicated, hyper-efficient night shift manager. You leave the workshop at the end of the day, it's a bit messy, maybe the tools are left out, and there were some workflow bottlenecks you didn't notice.
Yeah.
At 4:20 a.m., the Dream Engine wakes up, cleans the shop, analyzes yesterday's errors, and leaves a concise, perfectly truncated 14-word briefing on your desk before you even have your morning coffee.
It creates a self-improving feedback loop. It transforms your local hardware cluster from a static set of tools into an active participant in its own maintenance.
Okay, so the system is built, the dashboard is rendering our files, and the Dream Engine is optimizing everything at 4:12 a.m. But as any engineer knows, you never just assume a new architecture is stable.
Definitely not.
Just because it compiled doesn't mean it works. How do we know it's not just generating a very pretty dashboard full of completely hallucinated garbage? How do we definitively prove this agentic OS is doing what it claims?
That is exactly why the blueprint includes a rigorous system verification checklist. After Claude Code establishes that server, you have to verify operational stability via three crucial pipeline checkpoints. You absolutely cannot skip this phase.
Let's run through them. Checkpoint one, the intent safeguard check.
The target validation metric here is exactly zero lines written before the explicit approval flag is given.
Zero lines, not even a boilerplate setup. It's literally paralyzed until you click approve.
Completely paralyzed. To verify this, you have to review your terminal logs to confirm that the generation was entirely context isolated.
Right.
You need proof that the agent actually stopped, waited, and did not execute a single command during that step one intent loop until you verified its plan.
That proves the cautious senior developer persona is locked in. Checkpoint two, code graph integration. We need to prove this map is actually saving us the money we were promised.
For this, the target is a greater than 80% drop in overall raw file parsing tokens. The verification method is to compare your text parsing payload lengths against baseline runs you did before the integration.
So you look at the size of the data packets being sent to the API.
Exactly. If you don't see that massive drop in payload length, it means the map isn't working. It means the AI is still reading the territory and brute-forcing its way through your files, and your token costs are going to remain high.
That makes sense. And finally, checkpoint three, dynamic file mirroring. This tests the visual presentation layer, the actual dashboard.
The target metric is a sub-500 millisecond sync speed to the local web interface.
Mm-hmm.
And the blueprint gives a very specific, somewhat quirky verification method. You run a touch test on a specific placeholder asset in your workspace called dana_white_invoice.html.
A touch test just updates the timestamp on the file, right?
Mm-hmm.
You touch the file and it needs to populate or update on the web interface in under half a second. Why that specific file name, though?
It's just a random, highly specific asset name used for the test, but it proves the concept perfectly. If you touch that file and it appears on your dashboard instantly, it proves your local artifact tracking is functionally real time.
It proves the air traffic control tower is actually tracking the planes.
Exactly.
If we zoom out and look at this verification checklist as a whole, it really separates a chaotic experiment from a mathematically verified system. You aren't just hoping it works, you are validating the intent constraints, the token efficiency, and the visual sync speed with hard data.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is what engineering discipline looks like applied to AI. We are moving past the novelty phase of AI agents and into rigorous, verifiable systems architecture.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Let's summarize the massive paradigm shift we've discussed today. We have looked at a blueprint that takes us from wrangling raw, messy command line workflows into a centralized, beautifully structured visual intelligence layer.
Right.
We've learned how to tame an eager AI like Claude Code by using intent check loops, forcing it to act like a patient senior developer rather than a chaotic intern.
Yeah.
We've explored how to slash API spend by 82% and drop token consumption by 86% just by having the AI index a code graph so it reads a lightweight map instead of brute forcing the raw files.
It's incredible.
And best of all, we set up a 4.00 AM Dream Engine to analyze our terminal logs and find optimizations while we sleep.
For anyone listening, whether you are currently managing a complex local hardware node or you're just fascinated by the frontier of software development, This blueprint proves something vital.
What's that?
It proves that ultimate control, staggering token efficiency, and clean dynamic visualization are not just enterprise pipe dreams reserved for massive tech companies. They are entirely possible on local hardware clusters right now, today, if you apply the right architectural constraints.
It really is incredible. It takes us right back to that image we started with. No more drowning in 15 chaotic terminal windows, praying your AI doesn't wipe your hard drive. You now have a sleek, self-monitoring air traffic control tower for your data. But all of this leaves me with one final, slightly provocative thought for you to chew on.
I think I know where you're going with this.
If your local AI is now organizing your files into a strict visual grid, if it's compiling and installing its own tools, if it's indexing its own interdependencies to save you money, and if it's running an overnight dream engine to analyze its own daily operational efficiency while you sleep,
yeah.
At what point does your hardware cluster stop being just a development environment and start becoming an autonomous digital colleague? Something to think about until the next deep dive.